read Matthew 28. A little bronchial problem. I'm not in any pain. You might be, but I'm all right. Just a little hoarse, okay? Matthew 28.
Matthew chapter 28. Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment as white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not. For I know that ye seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him, lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail! And they came and beheld him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, but tell my brethren that I go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave much money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Lord, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age.
Amen. Beautiful and beautifully read. It's amazing how a rumor like that can last for so long. Do you know 2,000 years later, they're still saying that? And there's a problem, though. There's another theory, which is called a swoon theory. Jesus never really died. And so just sort of a temporary unconsciousness, and it was all planned. And when he regained consciousness, he sneaked out of the grave. But, well, if somebody stole him, how could he sneak out of the grave? So it's a lot of foolishness associated with the rumors. The truth is, of course, and I don't have to prove that to you, he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. But then what we want to do today is not just briefly mention the proof of the resurrection, but something to encourage our hearts as well. Because as soon as he was raised, he began to make all of these fabrications, which are false. They just don't want to believe that he is alive. Well, they said the disciples came by night, stole the body. And this is interesting because, like Brother Malcolm Horlock brought out recently, what thief would go into your house, pull all the drawers out of your bureau, chest of drawers, and pull down those big bags you got in your closet. Now, he didn't say that way. I'm elaborating a little more, okay? And a thief's looking for money, something valuable. And so he tears your house apart. But before he leaves, he says, I think I'm going to be a nice thief. What I'm going to do, I'm going to put everything back neatly in its place. You ever seen a thief do that? No. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he found the linen cloth out, lying perfectly as was, and the napkin neatly put. Now, I couldn't put it neatly like that. I do my towels, you know, I wash my own clothes. children want to do it, but I just like to do it myself with something to do. And boy, but let me tell you, folding those towels is really a job for a man. I'm not used to that, see. But Safe is not going to neatly do that. I'll guarantee you that. Everything was so perfectly in its place, which meant Jesus wasn't in a hurry. He was alive, and he laid it out just like that, because that was typical of his character, of his person. You see? Another thing, why were the soldiers sleeping? Do you know the penalty for soldiers sleeping was death? And they took a chance by even admitting to that. However, they were promised immunity. That means they gave them a large sum of money, as Brother Morris read, and said, if you keep quiet, don't worry. We'll take care of the officials. You're going to live. But don't say anything about it, okay? And here's the money. And they took the bribe. All right? But the thing is this, how could all of them be asleep at the same time? That's most unusual. You know, it's ridiculous even to think of it. Another thing, how could the disciples roll the stone away without the soldiers hearing it? You have any idea how big that stone was? It was a gigantic stone. It was easy to roll in a slot for which it was preferred. They used to dig a little groove, you see. And they would roll that stone down that groove. A lot of men had to lift it and get it in position when it rolled in the groove right across the mouth of the tomb. But to get it back up, it's altogether different. It required extra strength. And how could you do that? I could hear a group of men puffing and puffing away, the disciples groaning at the weight of that huge stone, and not wake the soldiers up. You see how ridiculous it is? All right, it says they made the tomb secure, which means they had a seal. That's why it was not easy to break that seal without disturbing others. Another thing, how could they be asleep and at the same time know that it was the disciples that stole the body? That was all of that? Man, if you're asleep, you can't wake up after police or the thieves have stolen all your money. And the police said, do you know who it was? I said, no, I was fast asleep. You see? See how ridiculous it is? The more they say, the more entrapment. Now, the disciples stole the body. Let me ask you this. If you knew Jesus was false and he never rose from the dead, and all of his teaching in the past that he would rise again, would you be willing to go in all the world, preach the gospel, and be crucified like Peter upside down, or Thomas in India who was put to death? Would you be prepared to have your head cut off like Paul, or James beheaded by that wicked king? Would you want to follow a man who wasn't really a true man at all and he was false? Would you want to follow a man who wasn't really alive? No. The fact is, he was seen of Cephas, James, over 500 people at one time. And as Paul said, and last, he was seen of me. He was alive. And his being alive means a lot to us as Christians today. Okay, then, I made a sketch of a couple of other things that might encourage you. Joseph of Arimathea, amazing character. I like Joseph. Now, it is true. He was very rich and from a little small Judean town. In fact, he was a leader in the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin usually comprised of 70 religious leaders. And that was no small, insignificant power structure. Joseph was in that power structure. In fact, while he didn't come all the way out to follow the Lord, yet he was the only one who was against the crucifixion. I guess you know that, eh? You have to admire Joseph. Something unique about him. Some call him a secret disciple. Well, be that as it may, yet he did. He said, we are wrong, because they knew, and he knew, they had falsely accused him. They knew that he was innocent. And Joseph, he tried to persuade them not to put this man in the tomb. Well, he was wealthy enough that he had his own tomb which he graciously gave to the Lord. Luke says that he was a good man and a just man. See, Matthew says he was rich. Luke says he was a good man and a just man, but did not consent to the death of Christ. John says he feared the Jews and he remained silent or secret disciple. But Mark says, and I like, you know, it's good to read all the Gospels when you're studying. And I like what Mark said. Mark says in his Gospel, chapter 15, he said, he was an honorable man, waited for the kingdom of God, and went in boldly to Pilate. He came out of the closet. And he went in boldly to Pilate, and he begged the body of Jesus. And Pilate didn't have anything to lose. And Pilate said, okay. But now he comes out. Now just a little application. Sometimes, you know, well, we're not necessarily secret disciples, but we are silent disciples. Afraid to talk for the Lord. I'm not saying you're just like Joseph. You're scared to let people know that you are a Christian or that I'm a Christian. But I've had that experience, and I've been saved now, what, 59, 60 years? And over 60 years, really. And there are times I say, Lord, I want to witness to somebody. Lead somebody to me today. And somebody will sit down by me. But somehow or the other, I'm not comfortable with the person that sits by me. Now, going in a plane, a doctor talked all the way from Atlanta to Bermuda. I find out he was an orthopedic. He was a surgeon. And my, he could talk. Broadshed had got nothing on him. Now, don't tell him I said that. That's only a joke, okay? I do my share talking too. All right? But I finally got a word in. When he got up to go out, I said, Doctor, you told me all about your surgery. I said, I want you to take care of the body. But I want you to read this because I take care of souls. And it's a gospel tract. And the gospel tract says what money can buy. It's a good tract. Money can buy a bed, but it can't buy sleep. It can buy pills, but it can't buy health, you know, and so on. It can buy food, but money can't buy an appetite. And then that's a beautiful tract. He says, I'll do that, and I'll read your booklet too. Rev, called me Reverend Perry. I knew his grandfather quite well. He's a Bermudian. But then coming back was another strange situation. And I was hesitant, and I never gave that person a tract, you know. And I felt like I let the Lord down. And David now, he goes up to Bermuda and he leads a woman to the Lord right on the plane. I said, good for you, man. So sometimes, you know, you need to be conscious of that. You're a witness. And when you open your mouth to witness, it's amazing how that person is ready to receive what you've got to tell them. They want to hear something like that. You ask God's leading and guiding, all right? Guidance. But as far as fear is concerned, we all have a bit, a little touch of fear in us, or we're hesitant, okay? But the main thing is, your friends that you work with at school or whatever, a little word of witness, drop something to them. And I want to tell you something. There's no greater joy when you lead a soul to Christ. And you don't have to know all the Bible to do that. A gospel tract may be self-explanatory. But give them something and lead them to the Lord. Pardon the personal illustration again, but I remember way back when I was lonely as a Christian. I had no friends, no young boys were in the meeting. The next one, my age, was something like 7 years older. And really, I didn't have anybody. And Sunday afternoons, I used to be a lonely young man, ride my bicycle. I went up to the ball field one day, watch them play football or soccer, and I was bored because I said, I'm not enjoying this. You know, my heart was somewhere else. My heart was on the things of the Lord. And then I said, well, go out and try to win some of your old buddies. Oh, they laughed at me. I could tell you some very interesting story because they still call me Young Devil. That was my nickname for 10 years. That's right. They gave it to me when I was 5 years of age. I was teasing these men in the barn, and I remember it well. I used to take the pitchfork and go up to them, pretending that I'm going to stick their legs. The one I'm saying, he's a devil, that's what he is. And that's what they called me from then on, devil. devil. So to make a long story short, in that community, that same community where I was brought up, I took the same word and I go in my father's backyard, as I mentioned the other night, and had children's meetings. I was a little rough because I didn't know how to handle children. And, you know, I had a stick in one hand, a Bible in the other hand, and every now and then I'd pop one over the head. And at least they were quiet. But just the other day when I was in Bermuda, my brother was approached by a lady. She said, "Is Frankie still in the Bahamas?" That's what she called me. See, not Frank, call me Frankie. I said, "No, yes, but he's coming back to Bermuda." He says, "Well, you know those meetings he had in his daddy's backyard?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I got saved then, and I'm still going on for the Lord." I said, "Hallelujah." Yes. All those years, 60 years later, and still going on for the Lord. And you know, my brother Joe got saved then, made a profession. He needed sanctifying, but at least he made a profession. John, my sister Asta, my sister Mary, and there was another person as well. We just planted the seed, you see. God will honor the seed. It's just a matter of going up. But still, it wasn't enough. I wanted somebody who was going to be a bosom buddy, you know, and a pal. I needed a pal. And so I witnessed to this young man. Little did I realize that another friend of mine had just finished talking to him. He was convicted, tears streaming down his face. And I said, "Frank, you need to trust the Lord." He says, "Yes, I know. And I won't take credit for it. But that was the first soul that I helped by just playing a little part, bringing them to Christ." And he and I were real pals. And later we got Bobby Barton, which made three of us. And Bobby is going on for the Lord nicely today. Well, we've had some good times at growing up for the Lord and in the work of God. So witness it. The whole point I'm making is that now that you have the life, the resurrection life of Christ in you, let that life of Christ be lived out in your life as well. The physical renewing of his life is really amazing. That's one of the elements here of Mark that's so unique, you see. And we need to keep this in mind. The Lord Jesus dismissed his spirit. There's no question about that. He died. That's why the Bible said, according to the scriptures, he died, he was crucified and buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the foundation of the gospel. And he's alive. But his spirit was reunited to that glorified body. It was. Listening to Charles Stanley. How many heard Charles Stanley this morning or last night? You heard it? Charles Stanley was bringing out, he was almost like he was copying my sermon. But he was bringing out some of the things about the resurrection. When it says we're going to get our glorified bodies and be in his likeness, it doesn't mean that you're going to have the same features as Jesus. You got to remember that. You have an identity, but it's going to be a glorified identity. Yeah, you're going to be perfect. Because he rose, his spirit was reunited to the body. You're going to get a body in the coming day. It's going to be a beautiful body, and it's going to be just a perfect body. Don't look at me. I know I need a little brushing up, but the Lord's going to take care of that. I'm going to be slim. I ain't going to be big as this. You know, scientists tell us that the skin on our body is about 45 square feet. And I guess I carry about 65 square feet. But that day, hallelujah. It's just tough. And don't ever laugh at fat people. I tell you, it's a tough thing. Believe me, it is. And I'm not making fun about that this morning. But you know, it's going to be marvelous. You're going to have a glorified body. You're never going to think an evil thought. You're never going to act, say something out of the way, or do something wrong. You're not going to question yourself anymore. Why did I do that? Christian, you know you failed, don't you? And you hate yourself for doing it. And you say, you know, I don't want to be this way. Well, it's because the old devil is in you, the nature rather, not devil, is in you. God left that old nature in you, but he put a new nature there. And if it didn't bother you, that means you don't have that new nature. But it's because you have that new nature of Christ in you, is why you're bothered. Your conscience is bothered. If your conscience never bothered you, you're in bad shape. You're not saved. You need to get right with the Lord. You need to really trust him. You cannot sin as a Christian unless it bothers you. It's got to bother you. That's a serious point. But thank God in that day you're not going to have anything to bother you anymore. The old nature, the old man is going to be left behind. Hallelujah. What a day that's going to be. So then the renewing of his life or his spirit to his body guarantees the same thing with us when we go to the Lord, when we pass out of the scene. Then it says he conquers death. He put death under him. He said, but we still die. Yeah, but death doesn't have the sting anymore. The grave doesn't have the victory anymore. And it says the last enemy that he will put under forever is going to be death. So when we die, it's a transferring of your body into a new sphere. Now, a lot of things about that we're not really equipped with. And a lot of things I wish I knew. But I know one thing, like I mentioned recently, if Elijah and Moses could appear on the Mount of Transfiguration and Peter and James and John could see it and recognize them, they had an identity. You see, the Bible says he's a God of the living, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's not the God of the dead, which means Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob had an identity. You're going to have your identity the moment you leave this world. All because one day Jesus rose from the dead. The resurrection affords a lot of beautiful things for you. Now you have to wait for your body at the rapture. I realize that. That's what we were talking about. But I want to tell you something. It's important to realize, though, that you're absent from the body, present with the Lord. You're alive. And I believe you have the ability to speak. Because the rich man in hell, with that great gulf, saw Abraham, and you know what he said? Send Lazarus. He recognized Lazarus, that he might dip the tip of his finger in water, come and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. Just send Lazarus. That poor man just want one drop of water. Isn't it sad? No one to even cool his parched tongue. Oh, my friend, if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian. We love you. We're not here to condemn you. If you make mistakes or you do things wrong, whatever, we're not going to condemn you. No. The main thing is, a lot of people don't understand it. You're not going to go to hell because you get drunk or take dope or commit an immoral act. A lot of people need to understand that. A person is lost because they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may not be even deliberately doing it. You may not even be so conscious of it. But just remember, he loves you so much. He cares for you. Oh, he doesn't like sometimes what we do, not sometimes. He doesn't like what we do, but he loves me just the same. Do you know, no matter what you do, he never changes his love. His reaction is the same. That's why it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I love that word, whosoever, don't you? That's a good word. I used to say, but he loved Frank Perry, but I took that back. You know why? When I told you the other day, when I went to Miami, checked on a little banking account I got there, the woman says, oh, no, we've got dozens of Frank Perry here in Miami. It's only a small little account. It's a convenience account. I said, a lot of them? She said, more than you think. I said, man, put down Frank Bento Perry, B-E-N-T-O. I only signed Frank Perry. I have my unique signature code. So they got my full name now, you see. But the best part about it is that I got a number. All right? Because so many Frank Perrys in Miami. As it says, for God so loved Frank Perry that he gave his only begotten Son. It could mean any one of the Frank Perrys in Miami. But isn't it nice? For God so loved the world that, what? Come on, say it with me. I only heard one up here. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever then could mean, will definitely mean you. Praise be to God. The word is so precious, so wonderful, and God cares for you. Let me tell you something. There's nothing grander in all the world in being a Christian. You know that? It doesn't mean that you're going to be a cloud nine all the time. There's no such thing as a cloud nine, but you know what I mean anyhow. It doesn't mean you're never going to fail or make mistakes, But I'll tell you one thing. You'll have peace. You'll have assurance. You can go to bed at night and sleep. And you say, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. You can make that childish prayer. You don't have to worry. But you know something, like a little girl said when she made that prayer, she said, and Jesus, you take care of yourself, because if anything happens to you, we're sunk. That's a little hard. I believe God smiled when he heard that prayer. I really do. But listen. Listen. Don't put it off. Don't waste your life. I remember D.L. Moody once said, two people got saved in the meeting. He said, one and a half to a friend of his. He said, one and a half. Oh, he said, a little child and an adult. And Mr. Moody said, oh, no. No, the child was a whole life. The old person was a half a life. You see, that person was nearly ready to die. And that's what he meant, of course. What I'm saying is this, young people, you look lovely, beautiful as children in the world when we got here in Spanish Valley, even this Bible class, beautiful. God made you like that. But let me tell you, you want your life to be even more beautiful? It comes from inside. When Jesus lives within you, you have more beauty. And you won't be bored. You know, you'll understand what it means really to enjoy the resurrected life of Christ in you day by day. Vibrant. And you read his word and you want to pick a mate for your life. You know, you want to choose part. A boy likes you and a girl, you like him. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's natural. See, it's natural. I don't know why I'm getting on the subject this morning, but as the Spirit of the Lord leads this way, I want to obey the Spirit. We're talking about a resurrected life. When the resurrected life of Christ is in you, listen, you have the Bible to guide you. Ask God about your partner in life. You say, God interested in that? Yes, he is. You may get a good husband, but God might have had a better husband for you. Do you understand that? Okay? Hey, you'd be fortunate like me. You know, I had the best. Not just a good one, but I had the best one. And that's what makes the difference in life. Trust the Lord for guidance in even those things in marriage. Someone said some time ago, marriage is the main reason for divorce. Wow, terrible. He meant, of course, if you didn't get married, you wouldn't need to get a divorce. But we had so much of this today. Young people, don't throw your life away. You're beautiful. You're energetic. You've got talent. God has blessed you with a measure of knowledge and education. Take that knowledge, put it into the things of God. And let me tell you, your life will turn around. I know sometimes, Mommy and Daddy, we don't tell it to you the right way. Sometimes we're a little rough on you, we're a little coarse, we don't use diplomacy. But I tell you one thing, we love you. You know why your parents tell you what to tell you? It's because they care. That's all, they care. You see, they remember the days when they cuddled you, held you in their arms. They remember the days when nights they were up all night taking care of you, when you had a high fever and they thought you were going to die. Mommy was crying. And she thought, I don't know if she'll see or he'll see the morning light. Oh, God, save my little baby. See, Mommy remembers those days. And not just once, many, many times. And now you get up to a certain age, you're a teenager. And Mommy's more concerned. Somebody says, you know, when you were born, you were arm aches. And when you were running around, the twos and threes, you were headaches. Couldn't control you. You know, you climb walls, you climb all the chairs and trees, and you just couldn't keep still. But now you're a teenager. And you're making choices in life that Mommy's not happy about. And she's afraid, she's scared. And Daddy too. And then you do something, and you're ruining your life. And what happens? Now you become Mommy's heartache. A heartache. See, Mommy has a reason for being like that. It's because she loves you. And she wants you to learn the life of Christ in your life. And listen, you won't be sorry. Oh, thank God for the resurrection of Jesus. Because when you go through life, you make your choices, whether bad choices or good choices. In the end of life, what then? What then? You see? I asked a fellow on one occasion, and he says, come from college. And he says, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to get a job. He says, what are you going to get a job for? He says, I want to make a lot of money. What do you want money for? He says, well, man, I got to eat. He says, what do you want to eat for? He says, to keep alive. He says, what are you going to do Monday? He says, I got to go back to work. He says, and then after that, what? He says, well, I get the weekend off. After weekend, what happened next Monday? He says, I got to go to work again. What for? He says, to make money. What do you want to make money for? Well, man, to keep alive. I see. He says, then as you get older, what happens then? He says, well, I guess I'll die. He said, then what then? What then? You see? And that's what convicted him. And he was able to lead that man to the Lord. What is life? Young people, if you don't learn the resurrecting power of Christ's life in your life, you've missed everything in life, because that's what God intended for you to have. He wanted you to live a vibrant life, a happy life. And believe me, sometimes some of us may look like we're baptized in lemon juice. We look so sour. But really, down in our hearts, we've got the joy of the Lord. Believe me. You know why? Because we have assurance. We have hope. We have happiness. We enjoy the Lord. Believe me, sometimes we may not. Some of us go through pain and problems, you know. But down deep in our hearts, we've got assurance. Why? Based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see? And that's why he had a body that was transferable. It could move about. You ever stop to think what your body's going to be like in heaven? Man, you're going to travel through all the stellar heavens and all the stars. And so what, 70 sextillion and octillion? I get lost when I talk about octillions and sextillion. I don't know a thing about it. I don't even know what they are. But they say, that one man says, if you take a 7, put 22 noughts behind the 7. That's how many stars roughly is up there. It's easy to believe more than that. Now, how many here this morning know what 7 plus 22 noughts? Oh, I thought I was the only dumb one. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. You're not dumb. I just don't know. Do you know if you start counting the stars, 1, 2, 3, it takes you a million years before you get to the end? That's a long time, Ross. I don't think you're going to live a million years, 32. Now, with a one-armed man like him, every time I see him, I'm going to put one on, too. He gets more sympathy with that band on. I'm going to put one on. When you see me come out next Sunday, if he could get the sympathy, I want to get a little, too. Oh, yeah, I tell you what people would do just to get a little sympathy. Anyhow, getting back to our story. The resurrected life of Christ in you is vibrant. It's real. It's not a religion, it's a relationship. Let me repeat that, young people. It is not a religion, it's a relationship. I want you to fall in love with Jesus as if he was truly your boyfriend. I'm not talking about physical attraction or sex relationships and things like that. All of that is good. God provided that for man and woman for the procreation of life. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's only when we disobey God's laws, it gets out of whack and distorted. And if you watch television, a certain television thing, put a block on some of the channels, because the devil will tempt you. You're weak. And some of the things they tell me that comes on some of the channels, is so horrible. What happens? You feed on that stuff and you become part of it. And it becomes part of you. Until it's just like taking dope. Do you know that? It is no different than taking pot than watching those lewd, licentious, good-for-nothing movies that portray nothing but the filth of the sex life. It's a disease. And now God still loves you. I'm not saying that you're hooked on any of it, but he loves you if you have been given to it. You're no different than us. 83-year-old missionary with us, you're 83, said, when you see a little girl go, a young, beautiful woman go by, said, do you still look on? I said, I don't lust. He said, but my heart goes pity-pat. I like that missionary. He's honest. No matter how old you get, you know, you still like to see a beautiful girl. You don't have to lust after her, because beauty is to be admired. The point I want to make is this. Don't let the devil ruin your life while as young as you are. because he's out to destroy you. The principles you are taught in Sunday school, and you're getting at an age now. You know, I feel so sorry for you. That's why I pray for you all the time. You know why? Because you're at the crossroads of life. Choices that you got to make. And those vital choices will determine the course of your life, either for good or for bad. And I'm nobody going to be a CIA, a policeman, a judge of you. You are your own judge. That's why the Bible says, examine yourself. We're not here to examine you. Only thing I could tell you is he loves you in spite of failings and different things. And what my business, my job is to convey to you the wonderful truth that as he lives, you can live also. A vibrant, spiritual, happy, and enduring life. That's the thing. You know anything better than that? You can't buy it. You can't buy it. And yet it's free by just asking the Lord, Lord, come into my heart. I want to be different today. I want Christ to turn my life around. I want the resurrected life of Christ to be with me. Would you believe we only got through one page? But that's okay. I don't think the morning's wasted. I'm so happy to see our young people here this morning, aren't you? Let's give them a hand. Come on. You know, Tom, you could be somewhere else today, but you're here. And, you know, we appreciate that. We admire you. And we want to thank you for that. And I thank God for you. Because that's the age now where the devil could either mold you and destroy you, or the Lord Jesus could take you and develop you and mold you for his glory. See, you have a choice. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, we thank you for our class this morning. And thank you for the dear ones that are here. Our young people in particular, Lord, precious, precious lives, beautiful children that you've given us, and we want to thank you for them. We don't want the devil to ruin and destroy their life, mar their beauty, and make them look old and haggard before they're even 25, because that's what sin does. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you for the resurrected life of Christ. Rose from the dead. The angels said, he is not here. He is risen. We thank you for this today. And oh God, our prayer is that he will live that resurrected life in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is our prayer. Lord, bless our class today. For Jesus' sake, heads bowed. No one looking around. I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to ask you to stand. But please don't look around. No one look around. Just quietly slip your hands and, Brother Frank, pray for me. I need help. And I'm not going to expose you. I promise you, I'm not going to expose you. I'm just going to remember you in prayer. Some of you, I don't even know your names. I feel ashamed, but I should know. Just quietly slip your hand up. Pray for me. I want my life to be turned around for Jesus. I want development. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Is there someone? God has been speaking to your heart this morning.